Okay, Vesyata Dishmaya, we're here in Shaar Yichud Tzfat, where Bezat Hashem going to be learning on Parashat Re'eh. Parashat HaShavuot is Parashat Re'eh. Re'eh means to see. Last week we were talking about listening by Ekev Tishmaun, and this week we're already getting into the power of sight. Moshe Rabbeinu was putting blessing and curse in front of the people, meaning a path of connection to Hashem and the opposite. The bracha is listening to all the mitzvot. We were learning earlier in the week, someone asked me, so what's the curse? When you don't keep the mitzvot, you're going to get cursed? I said, what if not keeping the mitzvot is the curse? If you see it inside here. V'aklala, im lo tishmu al mitzvot Hashem. What's the curse? If you don't listen to the commandments of Hashem, and you go off the path that I'm commanding you to walk on today, you serve other gods that you don't know of. So it could be that a person served other gods and that's how they left the path of Hashem. And then they end up with a bunch of curses in life, and meaning everything in their life is backwards. Or maybe people didn't want to serve Hashem and they wanted to serve other things, and then they fell to idol worship. And then they fell to the drug being more powerful than God. Money being more powerful than God, believing in all these other idols, having to rely on someone else and not knowing that you can do it and Hashem can help you. Those are also idols. So what was it that a person didn't have trust in Hashem and went to all these other places and then they got cursed? Or the curse is actually the fact that you didn't try with Hashem hard enough or at all. And then the curse is that because you don't have a relationship with Hashem, so you need to trust that person, you need to put your trust in that person. Like the Shaar Bitachon says, the gate of trust, Shaar Bitachon, duties of the heart. He says there, a person needs to have Bitachon in Hashem. And whoever doesn't have Bitachon in Hashem, they have Bitachon in something else. You definitely trust in something. You should be trusting in God, but if not in God, then you trust money, governments, business, wealth, knowledge, strength. You trust something for sure. If a person doesn't want the trust of God, so Hashem says, okay, trust in that thing, no problem, I'll put you in its hands. There is no bigger curse than that. Right? So it's an interesting way to understand it. But we're going to be focusing today on a whole different pasuk. It says, in the 12th chapter of Dvarim, in the 23rd verse, Rak hazak levilti achol hadam. Ki adam hu ha-nafesh, v'lo tochal ha-nefesh im ha-basar. Just be strong, and make sure to never eat blood. Because the blood is the nefesh, and you should never eat the nefesh, meaning the soul, with the blood. Commandment in Judaism, that we do not eat blood. Rabbi Natan of Breslev has a beautiful teaching on this. He says this is the aspect of the prohibition of eating a limb from a living animal. Right? It's the same thing, so to say. Which is also one of the Noahide laws, seven Noahide laws that the whole entire world has to follow. One of them is to not eat living animals or to eat from an animal that's still alive while it's still alive. And if you're wondering, how can you do that? Well, as gory as it sounds, you can do it. And there's also lobsters and crabs that sometimes are boiled alive. Right? So a non-Jew can eat a lobster. They don't have to keep kosher like a Jew. They're allowed to eat a lobster. But they're definitely not allowed to cook it alive. Everything that you want to eat has to be killed first. And if there's no way to kill it first in a safe, non-toxic way before eating it, then maybe you shouldn't be eating it. But if you do want to eat anything in this world, you have to make sure that its life is ended first, before eating it. And when we come to shecht an animal, classically a kosher animal, where do we shecht from? From the neck. Those in Europe, years ago, they tried to make it that shechita should be forbidden. And the rabbis all came together to try to understand the science behind the animal. They came to a realization that the kosher animals, when you shecht them from the neck, so then both of the arteries, both of the blood flow is here in the throat. Whereas non-kosher animals, they have what's called Willis circle, which is a ring of veins and arteries in the brain, with one artery that comes down the back of the neck, on the top of the neck, and one in the bottom of the neck. So when you shecht, the animal is still alive until the knife gets to the other side of its neck, on the top end, on the what we call the back of the neck, right? That's a big thing. Imagine a cow, that's a huge neck. Until you get there, it's suffering. Kosher animals, all of the flow of the blood flows from the throat. So that's why we shecht there. That first slice, already the animal's dead. It's already dead. Anything moving in there is just electro waves going through the body. The animal is no longer alive. And then that, you can't say it's animal cruelty to slaughter with a knife. It's actually safer. It's actually better than doing it the way, even with the gun like they do it. They try to stop it, but we have to shecht from the neck. Why do we shecht from the neck? Because the whole point of shechting, the whole point of spiritual slaughter of an animal, is to subdue the power of animalistic energy that is inside the animal, and to elevate the nefesh, to elevate the soul that's inside there, michai lemidaber, from a living animal, to take that soul that's inside the cow, which the cow is a living animal, and to elevate that soul from out of the cow into a medaber, into a speaker. And therefore we have to slaughter from the neck specifically, meaning from the throat, from the windpipe, from where the person speaks from. We have all of these veins, all of the things connected to our speech, all of these vessels that help a person speak. That's where we do the shechting of the animal from. And the completion, the rectification of the shechita is completed by way of the blood as well. Because that's where the souls come out of, which is the aspect of nafshi yatzah bedabaro. My soul went out as he spoke. Shir HaShirim, we say that, Song of Songs. Therefore, all of the blood at the time of shechita, it all comes together. Ki sham mikumam letzeh derech sham, because that's the way for the blood to get out. We cut here the animal, all the blood of the animal rushes out of that hole. Nafshi, the blood is called the nefesh. We can't eat the nefesh, we can't eat the soul, and the soul rests in the blood, so we're not meant to eat the blood with the meat. And when we shecht it, that all that nefesh yatsa bidabro, it goes out where bidibro, with his speech. Where do you have speech from? From your throat, from your vocal cords. So when we shecht the animal, the soul that's inside of it. What does it mean, the soul that's inside of it? I maybe skipped over that part. I take it as a given. When people die, they could come back in reincarnations in this world. You can come in, God forbid, as a stone, as a tree, as a bird, as a bunch of different things, as a human being, as a Jew, a non-Jew. One of the ways you can come back is as an animal, as a cow. So now let's say there's a soul inside the cow, reincarnated inside the soul, inside the cow. That soul knows that it's a human soul. It's not like, this round I'm a cow. No, it's I'm a human being soul. I'm a lofty, lofty soul. And because of my actions or the calculations of the heavens, I have to be inside this animal right now. But imagine being a human brain, human consciousness, stuck inside a cow. Completely aware every second that you're a human consciousness, stuck inside of a cow. There's no worse suffering in the world. That's why reincarnations are not always the best thing. Right? We are all in this generation, all reincarnations. And we're lucky that we came to be as humans. So we don't have to get our throats sliced and all these different things. But we also have a lot of tests in this world. Some people, they come back and they're in a cow. And their whole entire purpose is that a Jew should shecht it, slaughter the cow, take out the blood, cover the blood, salt the meat, butcher it, make a blessing over it, eat it, use that energy that comes inside the human being to turn in prayer and Torah learning to Hashem, and elevate the soul that was inside the cow into the human being, and for the words to come out of the human being's mouth. That's the whole idea of what we're saying, that there's a soul inside the cow. But our job, when we come to eat and to shecht, is to take that soul and that cow, to subdue the animal side of it, and to make sure to amplify the soul side of it, and to take that soul and to elevate it from a cow into my human body, which then I can get again, nafshi yatzah bedabaro, that nefesh will leave me by way of my speech. When I come to speak to God, ki adam wa nefesh, the blood is the soul. The Yitziat Ve'aliyat HaNefashot Hu Derech Sham. The way to ascend and bring down souls, it's all by way of speech, it's all by way of the throat. Ve'al Ken Mechamat She'sham Ikar HaNefesh. Therefore, since that's the main place of the Nefesh, Ve'al Ken Sham Tlui Achiyut. Therefore, all of your life is dependent on this point. Mechamat Zeh Nechazim Sham Be'yoter HaKlipot. That's why there's such a grasp of the klipot, of the negative forces, specifically on that place. Because your throat pipe, your vocal cords, your throat, and all of the veins that are there, are the aspect of Shloshet Sare Paro, the three ministers of Pharaoh. This talks more about Likutei Torah, the Balatanya. Likutei Torah. Rabbi Natan's telling us, if you want to learn more about this, you go to Likutei Torah of Chabad, of the Baal HaTanya, on Parashat Vayeshev. These three ministers of Pharaoh, they are standing there always, Linok Ma'adibur Va'anefesh Sheyotze Derech Sham Tamid. They're just waiting there, trying to nurse and pull from the energy of that's coming out of the speech, that's coming out of that path always. They're always there trying to nurse, meaning your words that come out, the food that goes in. They're always in there trying to mess up all of the unifications that could be happening by way of our speech and our mouth and our throats and our breath. Bifrat bebeema shenefashot sheyesham hem bichilat nefashot ha'ashukim sheyirdu nefashlum emadagatam. Specifically in animals like cows, goats, right? All these animals, sheep that we eat. These animals, these are souls that fell very much from their soul, from their level, right? Think about it, for a Jew to come back in a cow, you had to have messed up a little bit in this life, right? There's a reason you come back in a cow and not a human being. Although your tikkun is much simpler, go find the proper shochet, go find the proper table in Shabbat to be on when they say the bracha, make sure that the person has the right intentions when you're making a bracha, and that's why it's so important to make brachas with proper intention. You have a brother or a sister that's inside of that cow, inside of that fish, inside of that animal. You're meant to elevate it. How do you elevate it? With your speech. So if you're talking nonsense while you're eating it, or you use it and then you use that speech for negative things, or you don't make the bracha properly before and after you eat it, the soul doesn't get such an elevation. But the souls that are inside cows and sheep for sure are souls that have fallen from their level. Very much so. Mimitaber lechai, they fell from a speaker to an animal and they lost their speech now. Because animals, they don't have the ability to speak, right? They're not able to express themselves like we are. Therefore, the animal, you have these three ministers of Pharaoh. These three different klipot, it's known that there's what's called holiness, kidusha. Then there's klipat noga, which is this part of energy space where you can go up or you can go down. And then there's three klipot temeot. There's three forbidden, impure klipot, three husks, that negative energies that we don't go there. That's all the 365 negative commandments that we're told that we're not allowed to do in this world. And they get so intense when they get to that point of the neck. They're just sitting here in this area of a person trying to nurse all of the energy, all of the kedusha, all of the holy things, the brachas, the eating, the sleeping, everything, the breathing, everything that goes on with your speech and your mouth. That's the place where they're just trying to nurse off it, right? It's the three ministers of Paro. What's Paro? Paro could be Peira, a bad mouth, and it could also be Orif, the neck. Back of the neck is called Orif, which is the same letter as Paro. So it's these three ministers that are always coming to just nurse everything that's happening, either in the Peira, in the negative mouth, the negative speech, or on the Orif, meaning on the neck. And they come with strength, because the aspect of speaking, this idea that these nefeshot, these souls are so to say, consumed inside of you, and they were in the animal, and now you brought them inside of you. That's a place, this is a place that there can be an increase of animalistic energies. Right? The neck of an animal is a huge thing too. Right? It's this place that there's a lot of negative could be there, a lot of klipa could be there. And when we are able to conquer that nefesh, which is the aspect of speech, until not that we conquer it, sorry, that these energies, these souls are conquered so much by the negative forces that they fall off of their level from being a human all the way down to being an animal. Right? They were a Jew or a human walking in this world and they get come back in a reincarnation in an animal. That's a big, big, big fall. And that's why we shecht from the neck. That's the whole point of we shecht from the neck. To cut and to tear apart the throat pipe, the vocal cords, how you speak, how you eat, how, everything that's coming in there. Again, your food can make you very animalistic. And how does your food get into your body? Through your mouth and your throat. Your speech can make you an animal as well. How does that happen? Through your mouth and your throat. Everything happens through your mouth and your throat. So what happens is the ability to make you an animal or to make you very, very holy. The same mouth that can destroy the world can build the world, can create worlds. So when we come to an animal that is really a human soul lowered into an animal, where do we shecht it? Where do we kill it from? From the throat, from the thing that has the ability to make it more animalistic, that has more power of animal there. L'achniat shloshet sarei paro. To subdue and to submit these three ministers of Paro, of Pharaoh. V'azai l'sham mitkansim v'yotzim kol adamim shehem ha'nefashot v'yotzim v'olim michayil l'midaber al yedei ha'bracha v'asakin shel ha'shchita. Therefore, when we shech the animal, all the blood rushes to the throat to get out of the animal, right? It's a big rush that goes there. And then, nafshi yatza b'davaro, the soul comes out with the speech, out of the place of speech, out of the throat, the soul now is coming out. Right? And now, how does it get out? It gets elevated to a higher level of a medaber, to a speaker, by way of the bracha that is made on the shechita, and the knife that's actually doing the work. ועל כן כל זמן שלא שחט הבהמה מן הצוואר אפילו אם יחתוך איבר ממנו בסכין אין כוח הבהמיות נכנע. That's why for us and for the whole entire world, including the seven Noahide laws is included inside there, that we're not allowed to eat from a living animal. Because it doesn't matter what you do. You could cut the cow's leg completely off and it could bleed as much as it wants. The power of animalisticness, the animal power that's inside the animal that you don't want to eat, that you're trying to subdue and take out just the soul part of it, doesn't matter where you cut from an animal. If it's not the neck, that power doesn't leave the animal. The neck, the throat, the throat pipes, the vocal cords, that is what makes us more animalistic. That's what makes the animal the animal, right? Does an animal doesn't have speech? Again, because of the throat, because of the vocal cords, right? So that's the same place we have to shecht from. Cut off the cow's arm and eat that arm, you're eating a cow completely with no soul, with no elevation, very animalistic, become more animalistic, less refined. You're not able to subdue this power of animalistic power that's inside the animal. The nefesh can't come out of the arm of the animal or the stomach of the animal. It comes only out of the neck. The way of the nefesh coming out is only by way of these three, right? And the three again, kane, veset, uvridim. Kane is your esophagus. The veset is like your ability to speak, your vocal cords and everything, right? And the vridim is all the arteries and the veins that you have there. What other three do we have there in the same place? The three ministers of Pharaoh. Completely aligned. And that's why we need a shecht it. That's how you submit the klipot in this world. Because that's where they have to grab onto, mainly to get the vitality that they need. They get it by way of the vitality of the person. Therefore, if a person, God forbid, eats a limb from a living animal, you're eating the nefesh, the soul, the blood, with the meat. Because the nefesh and the vitality is still inside the animal since it wasn't shechted from the throat. Every single body part that an animal has, that we have, any limb or body part or organ, right, it draws vitality to it from the heart. And the only way to get that vitality, that soul that's bringing it to life, out, is by way of doing it in Beit Shechita, in a place of slaughterhouse. Because that's where the soul's desire to come out from. כי שם נתעדכנת ועולה מהחי למדבר. That's how it gets rectified and ascends from a living animal to a speaker. אבל כשחותך איבר ממנו במקום אחר, but when you cut the animal in a different place except for the throat, then the opposite, God forbid. This limb starts to pull to itself vitality, and the vitality is the nefesh, and then it goes into it and doesn't leave, it doesn't go away. Right? Imagine now you go, you cut the leg of the animal, right? So what happens when that leg gets cut open? All the blood is going to rush to it again, right? The limb itself, the leg itself, will start to pull blood towards it because it's losing blood. So now all the nefesh came into that leg. The whole vitality of the soul of the animal came into the leg. You now detach the leg and eat the leg. Where's all of the soul of the animal? In the leg. The point of the soul is to get out of the body of the animal. So that's why you need to do it in the neck. The complete opposite happens. When we slice the neck, that everything flows to there and it comes out of there. And it gets elevated because that's the way of the speech and the throat. But if you do it in the leg, then the leg pulls all of the life force to the leg, and then you end up eating the nefesh, the blood, with the meat. Therefore, the Torah forbid us, lo tochal nefesh im basar. Do not eat the nefesh, the soul, the blood, with the flesh, with the meat. Ki en basar nichshar v'nitar ba'achila rak achar yetziat nefesh mimenu. Meat is only allowed to be eaten once the blood and the soul that's in it has left, has been permitted. And what permits us to eat meat? Removing all blood from it, salting it, making sure that there's no nefesh at all in that animal. אבל הנפש בעצמה אסור לחלותה ולאוכלה. The nefesh itself, blood, soul, right? The blood is just a vehicle, physical vehicle that holds the vital soul in it. What's called the nefesh, right? We have five levels of our soul. The lowest level that just keeps life going is called the nefesh. We are never allowed to get rid of a nefesh. Right? You can't kill a person. You're not meant to kill. Even the Arizal was careful not to step on ants when walking here in Tzfat. You're not meant to kill at all. We never take the nefeshot, and even more so not to eat them. We're not meant to do that. So the soul goes out, the nefesh goes out, the blood goes out, it's free now. There's an attachment to the animal on a certain level, right? Because there's sparks there that when we eat it, it ingests. But we're eating the animal, right? We're eating the animal, and the nefesh, the soul, is able to be more free. Then it's allowed to hover above the animal, detach itself from the animal. When I eat it, it goes inside of me. It goes through my blood, and my blood keeps me alive, allowing me to pray and learn Torah. And now, nafshi yatzah bedaboro, the soul that's inside of me will leave by way of my speech. It'll be elevated back to where it needs to go. But if you eat from a living animal, God forbid, then you have no way to do this. No way to do this. If a person eats the blood of the animal, God forbid, then they're doing the opposite. They're trapping the soul. They're not allowing it to be freed. It was never freed to begin with. It's still stuck inside that limb. You can't eat the nefesh. You can't ever eat blood, because that's, so to say, murder. And the Torah forbid us from ever taking away lives and from ever ending a nefesh. The nefesh that's inside that cow is a human. It's a godly soul from up above. It's just stuck in a low place. And that's why we shech that way. That's why we shech that way, right? And this is the whole idea as well. I think it's Rabbi Natan that says this, but it might be another tzaddik. I'm pretty sure it's Rabbi Natan also. In Shmini, when we talk about the animals, that they chew their cud, right? That they eat, it goes into their stomach, and then they chew back again. It's the same idea. That's the idea. The cow, when it eats, so it's an animal. But it's eating from the ground, right? It eats live plants. The plants grew out of the earth, which is minerals, but they're inanimate. There's no life in minerals. So minerals created plants. The plants get eaten by the animal. The kosher animal chews its cud. What does chew its cud mean? Excuse my French. It eats, vomits, and eats again. That's what chewing its cud actually means inside the stomach, right? It has two stomachs. It goes in one, processes, comes back up, it gets chewed, and goes in the other. Why does the food come up? Rabbi Natan, I'm pretty sure it's Rabbi Natan. Rabbi Natan says that when a person eats, when the cow eats, so now that grass goes inside of it, but there's a soul there, and that soul is a human soul from a lofty place, and it's trying to get back to the level of being a speaker. So now that it hit the bottom of the animal, it knows this is not my place. I'm not meant to be inside of a cow. I'm much loftier. So it tries to come back up to the speech. Because it tries to come back up to the place that it's yearning. I want to come out of the mouth of the cow. I want to come out in words. Nafshi yatzabida baro, like we've been saying. My soul comes out in its speech. So it chews its cud, meaning it vomits that energy back up because that soul is pushing to get back to the neck. To get back to a place where it can come back in speech. What's the tikkun of this? What we just learned. Then what happens? Now that soul is resting there. We come, we shecht, we make an opening here. The blood flows out. We cover the blood. Do a burial. Cover the blood. Shecht the animal. Take the animal. Eat the animal. The soul now comes inside of you. The inanimate, into the life, into the animal, into now the human being that can speak, runs through your blood, and elevates back through tefillah and Torah. That's the tikkun, right? And Reb Nachman says, in Torah 78, in Torah Ein Chet, that this idea of nafshi yatzabe debaro, that we have sometimes in us such feelings of fighting, of machloket, of disagreements, of just, I want to go back and forth with someone. I want to, right, get online and comment on someone's post and tell them they're wrong. And I want to fight. I want to get it. Where is that coming from? Where in the world does a person wake up in the morning so angry that they're ready to fight with other people? Or in the middle of the day, they lose their consciousness and they're ready to fight. But Nachman says that comes from all of the sparks that we're engaging with in this world. We eat food, we wear clothing, we drive cars. There's sparks there that fell in creation. And those sparks, when they fell in the shattering of the vessels, so they're scattered all over the world without the proper permutations. It's a bunch of letters that don't make any sense inside the cow. Now I eat the cow. And when I'm done, I make a birkat hamazon. So now I just had four paragraphs of letters organized with permutation, with proper order that makes sense. I made peace between the letters. All the letters, all the sparks, meaning all the sparks that I gathered from the world as I engage with the physical world. Natati shalom ba'aretz, what Nachman says. I put peace in the land. What does it mean when Hashem says I put peace in the land? I put so many sparks in the land for you to engage with, but they lack peace. They have the potential to reach peace. I put it all in the land. Wherever you go, the clothing that you wear, right, the drinks that you drink, the food that you eat, the car that you're driving, the house that you're in, there's sparks everywhere. Letters, little letters that are bringing life of vitality to the world. That God, in the creation of the world, got scattered across the whole entire world. When we eat, we ingest them. And then they sit inside your blood. But they're letters that don't have a permutation. They're letters that are out of order. They're letters that lack peace. So what happens now inside your blood? You got a boiling blood. You want to fight people. You have a lack of peace running through your veins. What's the tikkun? What's the way to get rid of the machloket and the disagreements and the pain and the hard questions that you have on yourself, on God, on the Torah, and other people? How do you get that out of you? Nafshi yatzabe debaro. You have to speak. You have to get these words out. You have to use that same energy that you consumed from this world and transmute it and transform it into tefillot to Hashem, into praise of Hashem, into Torah of Hashem, which is peace. And then the blood you have flowing through your system gets all those letters, get the permutation, they get the right order, they get the words that they belong to, the sentences they belong to, in the meaningful prayer and Torah that we're doing, and then you find peace. And then you elevate all of the sparks. And then you don't want to fight your friend anymore, you don't want to fight your wife anymore, everything makes sense. Because you aligned your blood. Your blood was boiling with these sparks that didn't have any purpose, didn't have any word to fit into. Wake up every morning and say Shacharit, 100 pages of tefillah, 100 pages of permutations of peaceful words, all the blood that's inside of you really does get out. But that also takes a level of intention. You have to be aware of this. You have to be aware that the speech I'm doing right now, I'm putting my strength into it. I want these sparks to be elevated properly. Just saying the words out of the Sidur, mumbling, barely saying it, that's not really nafshi yatzabe debaro. My soul left with his speech because there's barely speech there. It has to be speech. It has to be meaningful. It has to have passion. When you put your power into it, after you eat the food and you get the energy, and then you put that energy inside prayer, so then you won't have the energy to fight someone else. You won't be looking for fights. You won't be looking for it. And even if someone comes to fight with you, you've already lost all your power in speech to Hashem and in Torah to Hashem. You don't have the energy to fight. You don't even have the desire in your blood to fight with someone. Because all of that nefesh came out in your speech already. You ate food and you elevated the cow already. It's not in your blood just annoying you and boiling and waiting for a trigger to set you off. You're not a powder keg walking through this world. No, you're able you're able to be completely aligned, and when the time is right, and you get tests, you get through them. You get through them, because you're speaking from a place of speech that is rectified, that is pure, that is Torah and Tefillah, and not angry, and not machloket, and not hatred, and not hatred for other people. B'zat Hashem, that we all eat with this in mind. May we never eat the blood. B'zat Hashem, yibisari yichezei Eloka. From my flesh, I will have visions of God. From my flesh, which is what's my flesh, yibisari. From my physical experiences, I will experience God. But my flesh, mi b'sari, is also the letters mi Rashbi, from Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. It's also mi Rabbi Yisrael Baal Shem, from the Baal Shem Tov. It's also from Rabbi Tzchak ben Shlomo, the Arizal. It's also Rabbi Isaac ben Simcha, which is Rabbi Nachman. From the teachings of the Tzaddikim, I'll be able to experience and see godliness on my own flesh. That's the point, B'zat Hashem. Shabbat Shalom. May everybody be blessed to do this in the right way and to have complete peace and alignment and to truly elevate every single spark that we engage with in this world. Amen. K'nei Ratzon.